God's given open doors. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer here. Father, we thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you know our needs. And Lord, we've named these names and before you, and Father, you know who these people are. We're just praying they'll come visit the church and ask that the Spirit of God really speak to their heart about it. And Satan is good at handing out excuses. Lord, he just has every excuse that you could possibly imagine. And there's always going to be a reason why, oh, I guess I can't come today. But Father, we pray people get beyond that, that they look at their life and say, you know, I've got to get to church. I pray there be an urgency. I pray that there be a desire. And Father, if they try to come, we're kind of a little out of the way, and you got to find your way into the building and get up here and whatnot. And we just pray that they'd have the courage to come to a new place and meet some new people and have some new experiences. And Father, as a church, help us to be on our best servants' hearts when people come, Lord, that we'd really just go out of our way to make them feel welcome and talk to them and get to know their names and their family and seek to be a blessing on an individual level as well as a church and the truth of the Word of God feeding their hearts. But Lord, we are praying about it. We have been praying about it, that you fill in these chairs, that we'd see positive growth numerically in the church, that we see growth on the minibus. Lord, we've got the minibus. Now, we don't want it to be in vain. Tomorrow we get the name put on it. Thank God for that. And Lord, it's a testimony every time we drive it around then, but we ask, please, for a good group to ride that minibus and that we could really begin to grow that group and help people get to church that would come and be faithful. And Father, thank you for these babies that have been born the last couple days. And Emily's cousin, we just pray, God, give them grace. They raise that little baby. We pray that they raise that child in the fear of God and that Hazel could know Jesus as her Savior. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would watch over that child. And then we pray for Ezra, Lord, that the Spirit of God would give the doctors wisdom what the problem is and that they could solve it and that you'd heal that child. And encourage Holly and Stefan, give them grace and peace in their heart. It's very concerning, and it's their first baby. And so we just pray, God, protect them, watch over them. Lord, as we look to the Word of God now and look at David, I pray that the Spirit of God would open our eyes to truth. And I love this study. I don't know if I love it more than other studies in the Word of God, but it is fun to look at a life and look at a story and examine it. And so I pray it be a blessing to us in Sunday school, but more than us enjoying intellectually, truth, I pray, God, speak to our hearts. We pray today would be a practical day from beginning to end, that we'd have truth that really helps us to have a better Christian worldview, make better decisions for our lives, and Father, that we determine that what the Spirit of God teaches us we'll put into our life. And Lord, we're asking that you bless the kids' class today, this morning, and tonight, that the Spirit of God really speak to the hearts of these children. We pray that the children in our church would genuinely love Jesus Christ, and that you bless their teacher, Mrs. Shore, as she guides in that time, that the Spirit of God would give wisdom and grace. And now we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your help as we come to the Word of God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so just to recap from last week, and if you don't know where we're at here, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Is that correct? I think 1 Samuel chapter 17. And Eliab is who we were looking at last week. And we didn't quite finish Eliab, but Eliab has come, and Eliab's angry with David, the Bible says, in verses maybe 28 or 27, Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, I mean, he is just, and we noted that he's not angry about sin that he perceives in David's life. He's angry at David, and that's a clue to the heart of Eliab. He assumes David is out of bounds. He says, why camest thou down hither? And he thinks the answer is a bad answer. We know the answer is because his dad said so. And then he belittles David about his work as a shepherd. With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? You're just a little shepherd boy, David, and just have that little responsibility. You ought to get back to your sheep. And again, you see his heart in that. He puts himself in the place of God as judge, and he acts as if he can see David's heart. He says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. And then he accuses David of wrong motives. He says, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Well, again, no, David's going to see the battle. David's there. Let me say this. David's there for two things. He's there in obedience to his father, but there's somebody else behind this that's greater than Jesse that's behind this, and that is God's behind it. God's orchestrated it for such a time as this. He has sent David to slay the giant. And so as this is all happening, David has exhibited a desire to fight Goliath. And that's the way people perceive the question that he asked. What shall be done to the man that goes out and takes care of this enemy of God's people? They didn't take it as him bragging about it or him looking to move himself forward. They took it as, oh, okay, here's somebody that's willing to go out and to fight. And so as David takes in what Eliab has said, he's unmoved by his wicked brother, and he answers the accusations with a question. And so David just turns to him. He says, in verse 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Okay, so the first question is kind of like, what is wrong with my desire to go fight God's enemy? What's wrong with that? What have I done? I mean, I indicated a willingness to step out and to fight for God. Is there a problem with that? I mean, it's a simple question. What have I really done, Eliab? Is there not a cause? Shouldn't somebody be valiant? Shouldn't somebody step up and say, let's go out and take care of this guy? This guy's an enemy of God. He's blaspheming the people of God. And somebody step up and do that. Now, if God has called somebody to serve him, say, imagine somebody in our church, the Spirit of God's working in their heart, and they have a desire to serve God. We got to be very cautious that we don't discourage them in that, lest we stand in the way of God. There might be some wise counsel that needs to be given, some consideration given to that. But if that's of God, the last thing you want to do is get in the way of that. Isabel Kuhn, you might know the story of Isabel. She was deeply impacted by James O'Fraser, a missionary with China Inland Mission that went to the Lisu people. And God worked in her heart, and she said to her mom, "I surrendered to go as a missionary to China." Her mom's response was, "Over my dead body." Well, her mom was the head of the missionary society in their church. All right, you'd think that she'd be a godly woman and certainly would say, and I'll tell you this, it's a tough thing to let your kids go. You know, I mean, I admittedly, it's a tough thing for a parent to understand, you know, my kid's going to grow up somewhere else. The grandkids are going to grow up somewhere else. I had it from the other side of the equation as God led us to Scotland. It's that I'm going to take the grandkids to Scotland and my parents are over there, and I understand the difficulty of that for my parents, you know. But Isabel Kuhn's mom did not respond godly. She could have responded like this. "Isabel, I'm so thankful for your heart for God. Let's pray and ask God to make his will known," right? I mean, that's a good response. But she didn't respond like that. She just responds in the flesh, "Over my dead body." Well, you know what? In God's providence, and I don't know that we should fully say it was because of that statement, but Isabel did depart for the field after her mom passed away. But before her mom passed away, her mom apologized and got things right with Isabel for standing in her way about God's will for her life. We're watching right now with interest the situation in Ukraine, and we prayed for Rebecca, who's there. Rebecca that was just here 2 years ago at our Holiday Bible Club, she's in Ukraine. And so we're praying for her that God will provide for a visa to come in early this next week, because the State Department, the U.S., is beginning to evacuate its personnel starting next week out of Ukraine. So, I mean, very serious situation there. But sometimes in battle, you're hit by friendly fire. And that's your own side. You know, for whatever reason, there was a mistake, and you're either injured or possibly worse than that if you're hit by friendly fire. You know, Satan loves friendly fire when it comes to God's servants. He loves it if God's servants somehow get in the way and somehow wound somebody that's going into battle for God. We want to be very careful that we're not that person getting in the way. But as we go, we need to understand that sometimes even those that may be godly, God may use them to test us and see our resolve. Are we going to obey God? David is resolved about it. So he's unmoved by his wicked brother. He just answers the accusations with a question. And then David just kept pursuing the will of God. Verse 30, it says, "And he turned from him toward another. He spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner." Now, I like that statement at the beginning. and he turned from him toward another. All right, that's done. Eliab has come. He didn't greet his brother. He didn't say, hey, I'm glad you're here. How's my father? He attacks him. David has asked a simple question. What shall be done to the man? Eliab rebukes him. He just turns and asks somebody else, right? I mean, that's the fortitude of David. David's unmoved. He's not bothered by his big brother coming down hard on him and acting as if he's a bad guy and disobedient to God and whatnot. He just says, I'll just ask somebody else. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door ineffectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Okay, if you're going to step out and serve God, expect this. You're going to get trounced. You know, if you ever watch rugby, the guy with the ball is running. There's a reason he's running, because everybody on the opposing side is trying to tackle him. I mean, that's when you got the ball, that's when you're in danger. So if you're going to step out and serve God, that's when the target's on your back. And you got to understand, there's going to be attacks. There's going to be battles. It's not going to be easy. You want to come to church faithfully? Look out. You want to take a stand for God? Look out, right? We understand that there's going to be a lot of opposition in that. So David just kind of runs through that. Gladys Alward, you might know her name as well, made a movie about her. 20th Century Fox made a movie called The End of the Sixth Happiness. She's spoken at Usher Hall. But, I mean, this young lady was just a housemaid down in London. But God burdened her heart about evangelism and the gospel in China, and she, too, wanted to join the China Inland Mission. So she goes there. Well, she didn't do well in their examination that they gave her and some initial training for mission work. She just, for whatever reason, maybe just wasn't that educated and didn't pass it. And in God's providence, she didn't make it with China Inland Mission. And you think, well, I mean, that was pretty tough, right? Getting turned down by the mission and thinking that that was going to work out. And so when that happened, she didn't quit and say, well, that's it. You know, that's all I can do. She just looked at God and said, okay, God, what's your will? And you know what? She went as a single missionary to China. You read the story. It's amazing how she got to this place where she's going to help this lady in ministry. And she gets there. I mean, incredible story. She works with a lady. The lady ends up dying. I don't want to give the whole story away if you don't know the story, but Japan invades. She is used of God to rescue 100 children, taking them across mountain passes, across swollen rivers, incredibly, while there's a war going on. By the way, she got shot before they departed, and so for a month, she's wounded, and she's caring for these kids without adequate provision, anything, shelter. Incredible story, how she rescues them. Powerful young lady that was called of God, but it was a difficult time. You know, a quote that I like, what's my favorite quote? Church? Anybody? I've said it so many times. Yeah, never doubt in the dark what God's showing you in the light. It's a Puritan saying. What's that mean? It means when God reveals something. For instance, I'll tell you this, God put in my heart in Ireland, 4.5 years ago, that he had answered my prayer for a church building for a church. Well, I think God's pretty well shown us that he's got a plan. We're not there yet. I mean, it's been several years. But never down in the dark with God showing the light. I mean, the fact is, God works in your heart about something. God calls you to preach. God calls you to missions. God calls you to church. God, whatever. When it gets tough, you got to be able to look back and say, but I know God led me there. I know God guided me there. I mean, our church, we're meeting at the Midlothian Innovation Center. I praise God because I can look back and say, I know God led us here. You got to have those anchor points that you could go back to. And on the other hand, you got to be willing to just continue on through adversity. You got Paul, burdened about evangelism, right? Good gospel witness, correct? And I don't believe in a non-specific will of God. I do not believe that God wants somebody equally here, 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 here. I believe God wants somebody where God wants somebody. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. Every time you see it, I mean, God led Abraham out into a specific place, right? You look at the situation here with the Apostle Paul that I was speaking about. He's burdened about evangelism. He wants to take the gospel. God said, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, right? But as he is going to go into Asia, the Spirit of God says no. Tries to go into Bithynia, the Spirit of God says no. And then what? Macedonian vision, right? Man in the night praying. I mean, it's interesting. God's going to answer the prayer of somebody, and it might have even been women, but God sent a man in a vision. I don't know, because you go there and you got the seller of purple, Lydia, you know, and the women that are praying, and God allows them to get there, share the gospel. You got the Philippian jailer that gets saved. And so closed door, discouraging? Yeah, admittedly. I mean, was it hard for David? Hey, I'll go fight the giant. It would have been better if Eliab came along and said, hey, that's great. Good on you. Way to go, little bro. I'm going to be praying that God will help you as you go out to fight that giant. That's not what he got. We think that'd be better, but God allowed a little adversity, and David just goes, well, I'll just go through that, right? And so it's a good thing for us to do that. We're doing that right now in the will of God as a church. Is it disappointing when that house, it would have worked. We could have got planning permission. Y'all see this? That everybody know that that's under offer by somebody else? You know, and I mean, the night I get the information back, this will work. I get the information as well online under offer. You know, we could get discouraged by that as a church. The triangle of land didn't work out. That didn't work out. The bank didn't work out. Or, you know, get discouraged by that, or we just look up and say, well, God's got something. So thank God for a closed door, because that's as good as an open door. And we'll just keep trusting God and turn from that to another. I like that statement, right? He just goes, okay, and turns away. So that's a good thing. David is solid in getting ready to go fight the giant. Now, King Saul hears his words. It says in verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Okay, Saul's got his ears out. Guys, tell me, if anybody indicates a desire to fight this giant, you let me know. So they come, the guy runs to Saul. Hey, there's this kid, David. He said that he'll go fight Goliath. And he may not have said kid. He might have said man or something like that. David certainly understood that he was a man. And so I can just see Saul saying something like, get the man, bring him here, you know. And so they come back, and there's this little kid. I don't know how big David was, really. But, I mean, I know he wasn't as tall as Eliab, but I don't think you look at a ruddy, red-haired young man and think, well, there he is, the giant slayer, or anything like that. And so I think when he comes in, Saul's kind of like, where is he? And they're like, he's right here, you know. And then Saul's like, you? You know, I'm just kind of imagining in my mind that Saul didn't really look at this young man and think, well, there's any chance that he could really go out and fight the giant. But David offers himself to fight Goliath, and he has courage, which others did not have. Okay, he's got courage. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now, David's response is totally different from the other soldiers. Remember, they were dismayed and afraid, but not David. David's got a heart, and he's like, you don't have to be bothered by this. You don't have to be discouraged about this. Hey, it's all right. I'll go out, and I'll fight this giant, strong heart and courage. Now, I want to point out something interesting in the Word of God, and it has to do with Joshua. Okay, Joshua was a young man. The Bible speaks about him as a minister to Moses, and 40 years old, like Caleb, when they searched out the land, and it didn't work out because Israel all rebelled, but Joshua and Caleb were faithful, so God spared them. And obviously, Joshua ages through the years of the wilderness experience. He's an older man, and Moses is passing off the scene, and God has a plan. God's going to put Joshua into the premier position of leadership, and God prepares him for that by Moses beginning to show honor to this young man, bring him up into leadership positions. But what's interesting is as Moses is preparing him to be the leader, that three times Moses says to him to be strong and have a good courage. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so first time, hey, be strong, of a good courage. Why? God is with you. God is with you. Next time, Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, next verse. Moses called unto Joshua, said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, for thou shalt cause them to inherit it. This time he says, be strong of a good courage, because you're going to succeed. You got to be the leader that does this and leads them in. You got to be strong for them. And I admonish you in front of them, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 23, he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And there he's saying it's going to happen, all right? Be strong and of a good courage, because be assured that this is going to happen. I'm not going to get to lead them in myself, but you're going to be the one that gets to lead them in. So how many times? Three times. Moses says, be strong and of a good courage. What's interesting is that when Moses passes away, and God is speaking to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, God tells him three times, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua 1 verse 1, this is God speaking. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God says, be strong and of a good courage, because success. It's going to happen. You're going to be the one that divides it. You're going to be the one that leads them in there. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Again, that's Israel, afraid and dismayed in our story. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And again, the Lord says, be strong of a good courage. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. And then verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Interesting, isn't it? I guess as it comes to leadership or just us fighting whatever, that God would say to us as well, be strong and of a good courage. It's not a good thing if we're afraid. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? God's given us courage. God's given us the ability to go forward and it's a decision, I guess, is what I'm saying. If God's going to tell us to do it, then it's something that we got to decide to do. You know what? I'm going to be strong and of a good courage. I'm just going to anchor my faith in God. So what giants are you facing? Are you facing them with courage? Do you think in the last year we faced health giants? 2 years? Yeah, I think so. I mean, COVID has been out there. I saw a BBC article that they think that COVID led to greater depression over Christmas. And I just go, yeah. It's tough. It's tough thinking about this unseen adversary. Now, the Bible says to us, be not afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Psalm 91. That's not something that we need to be anxious about, but that's a giant. We got to have courage and say, well, I'll face that health giant in the will of God, whatever that health giant is. Financial giants. You know, a lot of times we look at the expenses, look at the income. Go, I don't know. I'll tell you this. For the last 10 years, probably. The big one before what we're facing now was buying a house. And I look at it at times, so there's no way. I couldn't see it. We had bought a house before, sold it, coming over here, and I mean, just looked at it, thought, man, I don't know. I'm praying about it. God killed it. Now what it is for us is I'm burdened that my kids go to Bible college. I've got six, and I want them all to see God provide for them, and we're trying to train them by faith to trust God and know, you know, you do your part, and the other part's trusting God, and my God shall supply all your need, And it's expensive. It's very expensive. And so you look at that and say, well, that's a financial giant. It could be other things, you know, retirement, vehicles. There's so many ways that those things, and our families had many of those. We had, a lot of expenses coming over here. But we've seen God take care of that. But we got to face that with courage and look ahead and go, God's got that. Be strong and have a good courage. Relationship giants. Could be desired relationships, could be broken relationships. Somebody that's got a a tongue that just is unkind and it's hard. And we've talked about it before, some of the difficult things that we can face in life. A lot of that could be relational. Just, man, why is it so tough? Well, there's a giant there, but be strong and of a good courage. Emotional giants, anxiety, depression, fear, or worry. I mean, we can list that. And if I said today, how many of you struggle with those things? I think all of us could, on some level, on all those things, say, hey, I've struggled with that. But the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage, right? That's not something that we have to be afraid of. We just have to say, hey, you know, I'll just go up because God is able. God is able. And so we need to be strong and of a good courage. It's what David said, and he would say to us, let no man's heart fail because of him. If you feel like, man, I'm overwhelmed by it, just hear David, let no man's heart fail because of him. You know, there's no reason today. I could say to us 150% as believers, there is nothing in our lives that we ought to fear today. Nothing. Because God is greater than everything, and God is faithful. And God, Katie and I read a verse last night, and I think it was at the end of Psalm 92, and it says that basically, the Lord is my rock. In him is no unrighteousness at all. What's that mean? It means God cannot possibly fail us. He can't. And so today, we just have to look up and go, God is able. God's got it. Just stick with God because he's going to take care of it. Let no man's heart fail because of him. So he has courage, which others did not have. And David has confidence, which others did not possess. Confidence because of past victories. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Now listen, I mean, the king is telling you, you're not able, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Okay, anybody else been to the safari park out towards past Sterling? Drummond Grange, I guess it's called, you know. And you drive in there, and you got the pride of lions out about. And I guess, you know, you've got the real safari parks in South Africa, so who needs this one? But, you know, you drive out there. You know, I didn't see anybody getting out of their car. In fact, they say keep your windows up, hands inside. You know, you're not doing that. And I didn't see anybody reach out, grab a lion by the beard and say, that's it, man. It's over. I mean, think about what David is saying. They had lions, you know. And this is a true story that David is sharing, that he took hold of that lion and slew the lion. You know, we talked on Wednesday night, Daniel mentioned this, and I told him it's coming up in our notes, but how, you know, you do something, you see it accomplished, and you get confidence from it. You're like, been there, done that, right? And God, you know, God was faithful, and I'll get to that. That's more the point, but I want to emphasize right now, confidence because of past victories, what you've overcome in your life encourages you for what you'll face in the future. Katie and I, when we first got married, we were full-time students. She was a senior. I was a second-year grad student. We had 5,000. No. We had close to $7,000 in the bank for that year. We had to pay tuition. We had to pay rent. We had to cover all our food and other expenses and whatnot. And it's an amazing year to look back on how God provided down to the dollar. I've shared this story before about how God just provided exactly what we needed for that year. No debt, but nothing left over because God so specifically provided. You know, when we moved to Michigan and bought a house, and I said to Katie, I said, I kind of feel badly that, you know, I feel like the days of faith are done. You know, I mean, it was great having those college years and seeing God's providing. We got the house and God provided, and I kind of felt like, what is there to pray about now? We've got an income, we've got, you know, a house and things like that. Now, what I didn't know, there's a ton of things because then God would call us into missions. And in missions, we started out full-time without any support, nothing to lean on. Our house hadn't sold yet. Our side garden hadn't sold yet. Our church voted to pay us salary and benefits for 6 weeks after we were done. And we looked at that and thought, that is incredible. I can't believe that they're going to do that. As soon as we got done with that, the house sold. We cleared all our mortgage debt. We had a few thousand dollars left over from that. Not long after that, the side garden sold. We paid off our brand new mobile caravan that we had bought. And God just began to take care of us incredibly. But, you know, our confidence was, you know, God's done some great things in the past. And it was a big step of faith, but we knew it was what God wanted us to do. So we stepped out by faith, and God provided. You know what? That encourages me now because I've got past victories I can look back at. You know, the thing is, to get past victories, you got to face past giants, right? I mean, that's the way we grow in our faith, and we see God at work, and we look at that and say, you know what? God has done some things in the past, and so David had confidence, and the confidence is really anchored in this, and so I was emphasizing confidence because of past victories, but it's confidence because God had given the victories, right? It's confidence because what God had accomplished. And so as we think about this, David isn't bragging about what he could do. He's bragging on God. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. David had said, I went down, I did this, right? He emphasized, in a sense, at the start, he emphasized what he had done. But as he concludes, he says, God did it. God did it. The Lord that delivered me, he will deliver me. You know, I mentioned Holly. We are staying with her parents in Illinois, Mendota, corn capital. And they have Corn Fest every year. And I was down by the little lake that they've got there. It's kind of more like a big pond, and praying in my car. We had been 3.5 years raising support. We were at about 70-some percent. And I was just saying to God, God, we got to get to the field. I mean, this is a long time, and if we don't make it soon, I'm concerned that we're not going to make it. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, can I just plan to get to the field as soon as possible? As soon as we could get our visas, as soon as we could work out the paperwork, go. And God worked in my heart, yes. And the scripture I was reading was the scripture that says, write it so that he can run that readeth it. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. And so I wrote to my new deputation director, and I said, you know what? Katie and I have seen God work in the past. And I shared some of these stories about God's faithfulness and God's provision. And I said, God has worked in my heart, and I am going to go to the field by faith as soon as God allows. And he wrote me back. He said, that's great, Ben, but you got to go with full support. And I wrote him back and said, okay, if that's required, then I'll trust God to have full support. And I tell you, they redid our budget at the mission because we wanted to get to the field. Our income dropped to 67%, our support. But we just started seeing God provide, steadily provide. And I let people know, as soon as we can, we're going to go to the field. I planned our commissioning service with my dad. I got ordained. And we're on our way up to the commissioning service. We still lack 10%. Now, that's a large amount, 10%. On the way up, 5% came in. Later that week and over the weekend, the rest came in. So that on Monday, which was, I think we flew out. We did everything. We got there, we packed the truck, had a commissioning service, and we left. And God provided the last 10% without me going to people and saying, man, you gotta support us because my deputation director says we got to be at 100%. I contacted some people that said, you know, when you get close to going to the field, let us know. You know what? None of those people supported us. But God took care of it. So that when we came, we had every need. I mean, there's more stories than that that God did. God totally provided. So that now I can say the same thing. God has done it in the past. God will do it in the future. Let's face giants with confidence. And praise God for that. And that's really where God wants us to be. He wants us to have those experiences where we look at it and say, God is faithful. God can kill that giant. Let's go face the giant. Trust God to overcome so that my faith is strengthened, so that I can look back at that and I can look at somebody like King Saul and say, I know what you're saying. You're saying it can't happen, but I believe God can do it because I've seen God do it before. And that's where David is. And that's why David could stand confidently before King Saul and say, I'll go fight that giant. And so may God help us to be like that and just encourage our hearts, okay? We'll get into the rest of the story next time, but it's good to see David. David just goes, man, let me at him, because God is faithful. God's going to take care of it. All right, let's pray. Father, I doubt not that everybody here has giants, and probably as I listed those, just the ones that I listed, probably everybody said, yeah, I've got that giant. And Father, I pray that our church could be a church of giant slayers in the will of God, not going out like we're great and we're going to get it done because we can take care of ourselves. But Father, that we just look up and say, you know, God is able. God is great. God's got this. God's got a plan. And Father, I was rejoicing last night in your plan. Just the ability to look at our life and say, you know, God's got a plan. God's doing something. God's at work. And so as a church, Lord, as we pray together, as individuals, as families, Lord, I just pray that we'd look up and say, you know, that giant's going to fall. Be strong and have a good courage. Let no man's heart fail because of him. And so, Spirit of God, encourage us in you today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.